WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. Hope you guys are having a great start to your work week out there. We plan on hitting you with a fantastic hour right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM of unparalleled sports talk radio. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about last night's festivities as the Palace of Auburn Hills hosted its very last Detroit Pistons basketball game. The Pistons going out with a whiff, though, against the Washington Wizards. And now both the Pistons and the Detroit Red Wings now look toward their new home, Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit. It's about time, right, folks? We'll chat about that final game at the Palace as many old faces were in the building for that game. Also, two University of Michigan men's basketball players have decided to declare for the NBA draft. We'll tell you who those two names are. And also, the Mateen Cleave sexual assault case is not finished just yet, folks. We'll give you an update on that. And on the back end of the show, we will talk about the president at Maryland calling out the University of North Carolina for the academic fraud scandal. That and so much more. It's going to be an hour filled with opinions, sports talk, and of course, your calls and comments. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Of course, we are currently live streaming the show at facebook.com/currentsports. And you can also weigh in via Twitter at WKAR_sports, at Al Martin WKAR. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with news from the mid-Michigan high school boys basketball scene. Holt High School boys basketball coach Matt Essel has stepped down from his position yesterday, saying that he wanted to spend more time at home. Essel took over the position in 2006, after former coach Bruce Larner decided to walk away. Essel has spent, get this, 22 seasons in different roles with the boys basketball program. He led the Rams to a regional semifinal appearance last season and held a career record of 165-88. Overall, he led Holt to 6 district championships and 3 CAAC blue titles in his tenure. We wish Matt the best, and we will have Matt on Current Sports later this week. You don't want to miss that interview. All right, former Michigan State University Spartan basketball star Mateen Cleave is headed back to trial after an appeals court determined the lower court judge wrongly dismissed the sexual assault charges against Cleave. Now, Cleave was charged with various counts that included criminal sexual conduct and unlawful imprisonment. Now, the charges were originally dismissed in December by Flint Circuit Court Judge Kathy Dowd, who cited not enough probable cause as the reason for the original dismissal. Cleave allegedly met a woman at a golf outing in September of 2015, and sexually assaulted her, allegedly, in a motel afterwards. Cleave and his attorney do have the option to appeal the decision to reinstate the charges. Now, Cleave's attorney, Frank Manley, actually reached out to Frank yesterday upon hearing this news and reaching out for a statement. Have not heard anything back. We, of course, will keep you updated if we do indeed get Manley on our airwaves. All right, Michigan basketball forwards Mo Wagner and DJ Wilson announced yesterday that they would enter the NBA draft but not hire an agent. Wilson, a redshirt sophomore, and Wagner, a true sophomore, both have until May 24th to decide to come back to U of M or to stay in the draft pool. Both players are likely to participate in the NBA Combine, which will take place May 9th to the 14th out in Chi-Town. ESPN Draft Insider Chad Ford tweeted yesterday that he sees both as, quote, late first-round picks. Ford currently ranks Wagner as the number 25 overall prospect and Wilson as the number 31 overall prospect. All right, Michigan football got some good news yesterday when three-star running back Christian Turner committed to the 2018 class via Twitter last night. Turner from Buford, Georgia, chose Michigan over Michigan State, Tennessee, Notre Dame, and others. Turner made an unofficial visit to U of M last week. He ran for 1,100 yards and 18 TDs last season for Buford High School. Turner is the fifth commit for Michigan's 2018 class and the second commit from the state of Georgia. Jim Harbaugh also picked up a commit from four-star corner Miles Sims, whose nickname is Spider. Love that nickname. Kind of like John Sally of the Pistons, right? On April 7th. All right. Red Berenson, the longtime Michigan hockey head coach, is reportedly expected to step down from that position. Now, according to a tweet from the Detroit Free Press, George Sipple, Berenson addressed his team during a meeting yesterday where he gave the team the news. Now, during his time behind the bench for the Wolverines, Berenson led the team to an outstanding 11. Yes, 11 Frozen Fours, and won two national championships in 96 and 98. He also led U of M to a record 22 consecutive NCAA tourney appearances. Overall, he spent 33 years at U of M and racked up 848 dubs. He will stay on to help AD Ward Manuel in the search for his replacement. And also, want to pass this news to you. You can expect a report on Facebook.com/currentsports later this afternoon as Michigan State Athletics have notified the local media that there will be a press conference at 3 p.m. at Monice Arena to announce what we all expect to be the next head coach of the Michigan State hockey program, that being Danton Cole. We'll keep you updated. Again, catch a report later this afternoon from Monice Arena, Facebook.com/currentsports. I will also compile an audio report that you can check on All Things Considered. All right, unfortunate news here. The family of Chad Carr came home from a vacation to Florida to find their home had been robbed while they were away. Chad Carr is the grandson of former Michigan head coach, football coach, I should say, Lloyd Carr. Chad passed away at the age of 5 due to an inoperable brain tumor. The family has reached out to the public for help recovering the memories of Chad. There was a flash drive that encompassed different memories and photos of Chad during his early years. That is now gone. The burglars took Father Jason's car also, but again, stole that hard drive from a safe that contained pictures and videos of their late son. The family is offering a $500 reward for the safe return of the hard drive and took to Facebook to ask the public for help. All right, moving on. The Detroit Pistons in the final game at the Palace of Auburn Hills last night, the Pistons lost to the Washington Wizards 105-101. Former players from all three NBA championship teams at the Palace hosted the return to say goodbye to the arena and remember their accomplishments there. The Wizards were led by star swingman Bradley Beal. He was great last night. He poured in 33 points, which included some thunderous dunks. Detroit was led by Tobias Harris and Marcus Morris, who contributed 22 and 20 points in that losing effort. Detroit did fight back after falling behind 15 in the first half, made things interesting, down by one with a minute and 24 left to play. But again, they're going to lose that one. The Pistons now move to Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit, next year after spending nearly three decades at the Palace. Detroit will close out this season with a trip to Orlando against the Magic tomorrow night. And last but not least, in the final game of a four-game series between the Detroit Tigers and the Boston Red Sox, Justin Verlander outdueled Chris Sale as the Tigers won 2-1 yesterday. The scoring for Detroit came on an Ian Kinsler solo homer that tied the game at 1 in the sixth inning. And then a Nicholas Castellanos, still getting used to saying Nicholas, not Nick. He goes by Nicholas now. A Nicholas Castellanos RBI single in the eighth gave Detroit the dub. Verlander's final line was 7 innings pitched, 1 unearned run allowed on 3 hits. Pretty good, right? Justin Wilson pitched a scoreless eighth inning to get the dub. The Tigers now sit at 4-2 after taking three of the four games against Boston. The Tigers continue to play tonight against the Minnesota Twins. Matt Boyd will start and square off with Minnesota's Hector Santiago. First pitch is set for exactly right now. It is now 1:10. We'll keep you updated on that game from Comerica Park. That game can be viewed on Fox Sports Detroit. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in to be a part of the show, again, that number is 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
Tell stories of drama, adversity, and triumph. They tell you about the birth of the bad boys who became back-to-back champs. About heroes named Zeke, Joe, Lambeer, and Horn. And about a rookie named Grant and a scorer called Stack. As the years passed, they witnessed blue-collar basketball and Chauncey's big shots. These walls shook as opponents feared the throw and championship gold returned home. And now that a new era is upon us, led by Stan and a growing young core, these walls would say, thank you. Thank you for a lifetime of memories to take with you on the journey ahead.
And that is how we start this Tuesday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin. Welcome to WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. We've got a great hour of sports talk in store for all of you out there. You just heard the NBA's tribute last night to the Detroit Pistons and the Palace of Auburn Hills. That's right, the final game at the Palace was played last night as the Pistons fell by 4 points against the Washington Wizards without John Wall, I might add as well. At the same time, you know, it wasn't about the game. No one really cared about the game, even though when you look at other Detroit sports teams, such as the Detroit Red Wings, which closed out the final game at the Joe over the weekend with a win over the New Jersey Devils. And if you go back in time to when the Detroit Tigers played their last game at Tiger Stadium, they also picked up a dub. The Pistons failed to do so in the final game at the Palace, but the game was a sidebar to the big storyline, that being that the Detroit Pistons are no longer going to be playing at the Palace. A lot of memories came to mind as I sat on my couch and watched that nationally televised game on TNT. You guys know I am a huge Detroit Pistons fan. It's always a bit emotional for me watching last night's game as Detroit Pistons legends were in the house to pay tribute to the house of the Pistons that garnered three NBA championships throughout its time. And I want to correct myself from yesterday. Isaac was right, actually, when we were talking about the Palace. Yeah, all three championships were won inside of those walls. It didn't occur to me that, you know, of course, the Pistons did play at the Pontiac Silverdome, and it's so cool going back and watching that footage of Isaiah Thomas and some of the older Piston legends play in the Silverdome. But in the late 80s, 88, 89, actually, is when they moved to the Palace of Auburn Hills, and that's when the magic began, folks. Very cool stuff. Actually, 88 was opening night, November 5th, 1988, and the Pistons christened their new floor with a 94-85 win over the Charlotte Hornets. Two NBA championships, back-to-back NBA championships followed that. And since the Palace was built, you know, you look at it, $141.5 million in upgrades. Pretty crazy, right? And I tell you what, my phone always goes off. I think it's telemarketers, Isaac. This happens every show, dude. When I'm starting my monologue for today's current sports, my phone begins ringing and it totally disrupts the Facebook live stream and Instagram live feed that we have. People, I'm on the air. Whoever's calling me, please stop calling me. I'm at work right now. That irks me, dude. My phone almost fell off. Fell off the musical stand that we have the stream going on right now. And that's actually how I crack my screen.
I was going to say, because You don't have a screen protector, right?
No. What? Now I do. Now, I'm smart and I got a screen protector. But, dude, I'm at work, folks. Please don't call my number. Oh, my God. Back to my spiel about the Palace.
Go for it.
Yeah, let me go back to that. Yeah. Opening night was back in November 5th, 1988. It amazes me, though. Going back to the upgrades that I mentioned, $141.5 million in upgrades since it was built. So, you know, it's weird for a lot of fans who, especially those that live around the Palace of Auburn Hills, that live around that area where it's just a hop and a skip for them to attend Detroit Pistons games, because if you look at that facility, it's not old by any means. It's a very it's a beautiful facility, folks. Beautiful. For those that have gone to a recent Detroit Pistons game, you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, it is up to date. Everything is state of the art. I mean, it's beautiful. So when a lot of people look at the situation, they say, okay, why are they leaving? Well, this is a move that needs to happen. Simple as that. All right. Give the franchise back to the city. For the first time, because they were at the Pontiac Silverdome. That wasn't even in the city of Detroit. Give the franchise to Detroit, because I can only imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like, and especially the attendance for a Detroit Pistons game now, seeing as though it's right in the heart of downtown Detroit. And it amazes me because, again, I'm a firm believer in if you build it, they will come. Certainly, that's true. If the Pistons were a winning franchise, the attendance would have been better these last few years, right? And I always go back to the glory years. I mean, my goodness, in 2009, actually, the Pistons recorded their 259th consecutive sellout at the 22,076-seat facility. From January 19th of 04 to February 4th of 09, the Pistons had sellout after sellout after sellout. And again, that's when the franchise was really, really good. That's when the Pistons were legitimately competing for NBA championships, consistently making the playoffs. 2004, of course, that's when the franchise won its last NBA championship. If you build it, they will come. But heck, even if this Pistons team, which isn't that good right now, again, they missed out on the NBA playoffs, and they play in the NBA's weak sauce NBA Eastern Conference. I mean, come on, dude. Come on. So right now, the Pistons need this move to help bring some life into this franchise, a franchise that is certainly struggling. Some great pieces were written. Some great tribute pieces were written yesterday, centered on the Palace legacy. And probably there was no piece that I enjoyed more so than Jeff Seidel's, who was, of course, sports reporter for the Detroit Free Press. He had a great story centered on the Ernie Harwell of the Detroit Pistons, that being our dear friend George Blaha. George Blaha has been broadcasting Detroit Pistons games since the 70s. He has been there to call the back-to-back Bad Boy Championships of the late 80s, early 90s. He was there to call the 2004 NBA Championship. He has seen names like Isaiah Thomas, Rick Mahorn, Bill Laimbeer, Vinnie Johnson, Joe Dumars. He has seen those names transition into names like Jerry Stackhouse, Grant Hill, John Berry, Corliss Williamson, Cliff Robinson, Lindsey Hunter. He has seen those names transform into Chauncey Billups, Richard Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, and now with these modern-day Pistons, which, not that great, but still some interesting players, some names on that roster, as in Andre Drummond, Reggie Jackson. He's seen it all. George has been the voice of the Pistons for as long as I've been on this earth and beyond that. So Jeff actually followed George from the time that he arrived at the palace to the time he said goodbye to the Palace of Auburn Hills last night. And, you know, he starts the article by mentioning how George is walking on the sidewalk of the palace and he runs into Cindy Button, who works security and actually parks cars at the palace and has been doing so since the late 80s. Cindy has worked at the palace since it opened back in 1988. And then they briefly exchange a hug, and Cindy actually had a gift for George's wife. They're very, very close. Then it goes to talk about that connection, and then George walks in, and there is a big group of managers that work at the palace, and they immediately spot George and yell out, "George, George!" And George graciously takes a group picture with them and thanks them for all they've done at the facility. Then he goes on to greet security guard after security guard to thank those individuals for all that they've done while working at the palace. And all in all, Jeff actually noted that George took about 50 pictures and did so with grace. And, of course, that game was broadcast on TNT national television last night. You had Chris Webber on the call. And due to that, Fox Sports Detroit couldn't air it locally, like the Detroit Red Wings final game at the Joe this past week against the New Jersey Devils. So we saw from a national perspective, which really kind of took the luster off of it being the final game at the Palace. The national pundits, you know, guys like Ernie, Shaq, Kenny, and Charles, they aren't going to talk about their memories at the Palace because they didn't play for the Detroit Pistons, right? So, you know, the tribute that TNT gave was, it lacked a lot of luster for sure. Very lackluster. And Chris Webber, of course, Chris, born and raised in the city of Detroit. Chris actually played for the Detroit Pistons once. You know, he shared his thoughts and memories briefly, and they showed Dennis Rodman coming out for the tip-off. And George Blaha actually addressed the crowd and thanked the crowd for all of their years of service at the Palace before tip-off. But, you know, the tribute, as far as the broadcast is concerned, lacked a lot. But at the same time, it was very cool to see all of the legends in the house. At halftime, I mean, you saw Chauncey there, Ben Wallace. I mean, I went through a lot of the names, but they all posed in back of the three NBA championships that the Pistons donned over the years in that building. So going back to George, though, since George wasn't on the broadcast next to Greg Kelcer, of course, there was just the radio broadcast locally for the Detroit Pistons, and Mark Champion was on that call. So Mark actually split duties with George Blaha last night. Mark Champion caught the first half, and then George caught the second half. So fans out there did get a chance to at least hear George pay tribute to the Palace for one last time, maybe not on television, but on radio. But so many memories, folks. I even go back to my favorite memory, my first memory at the Palace of Auburn Hills, when my dad took me when I was 13 years old to go check out the Detroit Pistons play the Milwaukee Bucks. That's back in the day when actually Ray Allen was still a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. We sat behind one of the baskets, and before tip-off, I remember being I remember it like it was yesterday. I was sitting there next to my dad, and I'm just in awe that I'm at a Detroit Pistons game, my favorite sporting franchise. And then I look to my left, and all of these kids swarm to the tunnel, and lo and behold, it's Chauncey Big Shot Billups signing autographs. So my dad and I, we spotted, and I'm nervous. I was so nervous. I was just like this nervous kid growing up. My dad, you know, he nudged me and says, "Hey, that's Mr. Big Shot. Go over there and get his autograph." And I had this black old school. It was like the you guys know the Pistons logo with the horse on it. I had that hat on. It was black and white. And I took it off, and I run over there because my dad urged me to go over there, and I run over there. And Chauncey, he's coming down the line, and he grabs my hat, the inside of the lid, and puts CB1 in a blue permanent marker on that cap. And I ran back to my dad so excited. My favorite memory of the whole night, because the Pistons actually ended up losing that game to the Bucks. Ray Allen went off for like 33 points. I mean, Ray Allen was not only was he good in his older years, but my goodness, he was great in his prime. He was in his prime during that time. and, you know, the Pistons lose that game, but I went home with that cherished memory. And I really thought that my mom had thrown out that cap. But I recently found that cap, Isaac. I've told this story on the air. I found that cap, thank goodness, from my grandmother, because she saves everything of ours when we grew up. I was out over the holidays, you know, she was out doing some cleaning, some winter cleaning, I guess you can say. And she put all my stuff in two cardboard boxes in the basement. I went down there and I went crazy because I found that cap with Chauncey's autograph on the inside of the lid. That by far is my favorite memory at the Palace. I've been to multiple games. I remember when the Pistons played the 76ers when Allen Iverson was still on the team back in the day. This is when Tayshaun Prince was really coming of his own. And my dad and I, we got tickets to the upper bowl of the Palace. That was my very first and only NBA playoff game. That was crazy. I got to see Carmelo Anthony in person when the Pistons played the Denver Nuggets back in the day. We had great seats. That was my stepdad and I. We were about five rows from the court. I don't know how we got those seats, but we got them. Also, can't forget this. The Palace was also once home of the Detroit Shock, the Pistons WNBA team. And I got a chance to see Swin Cash and Deanna Nolan in person. I was a huge fan of Nolan and Cash, but I got a chance to see them in person. We were about seven rows from the court watching those two in action. And, of course, the Shock have since relocated. But I went to that game as well. And I've been to multiple games throughout these last few years. The Palace will certainly be missed. A lot of memories there, a lot of great memories there, Isaac. But this move needs to happen, especially considering the fact the Pistons just aren't that good right now.
I was saying the Palace and the Joe bore similar fruits. Both teams were so prosperous during their times at those respective arenas. The difference is, for me, I got to be honest, I only went to one Palace game, one Joe game, really enjoyed my time at both. The Joe had the history. It had the cool little up-close environs, and you would be able to see all the different players skate by no matter how high up you were. It was great sight lines. The Palace, it was a palace. It was magnificent. Rolling up to that, you thought, wait, this is a basketball stadium? This isn't a football stadium? It was really that sort of atmosphere at the Palace. And when I went, I saw the Pelicans play the Pistons. Not the best outing for the Pistons, unfortunately. But I remember watching games on TV back in the day, and the Palace just had this aura. Because whether it was the mouse at the Palace or all the banners, the rafters being filled with these championship banners, it was as historic for us growing up as any place such as the Staples Center or the Boston Gardens or anything like that, just to be able to see the Palace on TV and finally go. It was as good as I thought. So as much as I liked being inside of the Joe, let's be honest, the Joe was a little bit of a makeshift arena in many ways. It's tucked behind the interstate. It's not as well-placed, or it's not as even nice inside. The Palace is a really nice stadium. If they could have put that on one of those little wheeled contraptions to carry it over to Detroit, I would have done it in a heartbeat. But at the same time, you are absolutely right. As good of an arena as it was, Detroit Pistons need to be in Detroit.
They do.
Not Auburn Hills, right. In Detroit. And it's that simple. So I am excited for the move. But the Palace will be missed. It will.
And I found this to be pretty funny. During halftime of last night's game, Charles Barkley, former NBA great, now analyst for TNT, NBA analyst for TNT, he was on the broadcast last night, and he mentioned, you know, after watching the tributes before the game and watching Dennis Rodman, you know, bring out the ball and, you know, hearing George Blaha talk at halftime, you know, he said, hey, here's an interesting tidbit for you all. I have never been to Detroit, because he's played in Auburn Hills. You know, when he was a player, he just went straight to Auburn Hills and played there. But he has never been to the city of Detroit. And a lot of tweets came out about that, about Charles never being to Detroit. And Ernie Johnson mentioned how he had never been to Portland. And then they kind of joked and said, hey, you know what? Maybe this summer we can, you know, hop on a plane and maybe go to Detroit and then Portland. That'd be a fun trip. But then what I found to be, you know, really, really funny, I went on Twitter and Michael Stoney Stone of 97 won the ticket. He's a sports talk personality in Detroit. He claims that Barkley is actually lying, saying that Barkley joined him at a gentleman's club on 8 Mile Road one time in the 1990s. Stoney actually tweeted this, quote, Hey, at NBA on TNT, Barkley is wrong. He has been in Detroit. He met myself, and he tweets another guy by the name of at Van Earl Wright. That's his Twitter name on the social media realm. And he says he met myself in at Van Earl Wright at a strip club on 8 Mile in the 90s. Great time. So I don't know. There's some back and forth here. Charles saying he's never been to Detroit. And Michael Stoney saying, yeah, we had a good time on 8 Mile at one of the gentlemen's clubs down there.
When it comes to Chuck Barkley, I'm going to side with Michael on that one. I'm believing him.
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, that sounds like Barkley, to be honest with you. And, you know, also there was a subtle jab. If you go back and listen to that banter, Shaq took a subtle jab. They're always going back and forth at Barkley. When Barkley said he's never been to Detroit, Shaq goes on to say, oh, man, they got some casinos down there, Chuck. And, you know, Chuck has had some noted gambling problems back during his playing days and post his NBA career. So it's always fun watching those four, though, I tell you. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, we're taking your calls, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Dave from Wyoming, ICEA, we'll get to your call as soon as we get back. After we get back again, we'll take your calls. We'll talk about Mo Wagner entering the NBA draft. And also, charges reinstated against my team, Cleves. We'll chat about that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we are reading your comments and taking your calls on today's Current Sports. And you get a chance to do that on yesterday's show. We had a packed show as we invited Jason Ruff, MSU hockey beat reporter for Impact Sports. He joined me at the top of the hour. And, of course, we talked about the said new hire. It's being reported that Michigan State University is going to hire Danton Cole as its next hockey coach. Again, we will have a report. That press conference will take place at Munice Arena at 3 p.m. I'll file a report that you can check out later on this evening on Facebook.com/currentsports. I'll also be doing a quick audio hit for All Things Considered. A few comments here. This comes from Ben Grimes via our Facebook page. Quote, are you going to cover the press conference at Monday? Answer that question, Ben. I wouldn't doubt it. I'm excited that Danton Cole is being named the new head coach of the hockey team. He and I have something in common in that we both are Waverly grads. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that Danton Cole, Isaac, is a graduate of Waverly High School here in the area. He goes on to say, so we both have warrior pride. We bleed black and gold, and we both bleed green. We both love hockey also. Great comment, Ben. Appreciate that. Again, you can weigh in. If you don't want to call in, you can weigh in at Facebook.com/currentsports. Let's take one of our calls right now. Let's go to line one. We have Dave from Wyoming that wants to chime in. Dave, how you doing and what's on your mind?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I think the thing that I guess I don't have any warm fuzzies about the Palace, because it was they were I think the second after the Lions went to the Silver Dome. They pulled out, or about the same time, they pulled out and went to Pontiac, right?
Right. Yep. In the late 80s. Yep.
And one of the reasons Joe Louis Arena looked like a homemade bike was because
homemade bike. I like that, Dave.
Was because Norris was thinking about selling the team. The Pistons had just left Cobo. The Lions were already in Pontiac at Silverdome, and Pontiac's mayor had made overtures to Mr. North. Mm-hmm. And Detroit was really under the gun. They basically had to build something quick because Norris wanted to sell the team, and they couldn't get any buyers as long as they were playing in Olympia. So he was going to have a new stadium. And people forget, too, Mike Ilitch put in millions of dollars to try to improve Joe Louis Arena after he bought it. because the first time I went there, the year it opened, it was, is this all there is? You know, it probably opened before you all might have been born.
Right.
But it was a dump. I mean, I'd never been to what they call a professional arena before with unpainted cinder brick walls. And that's what the Red Wings were playing in the first year. So it has better memories for me, but, you know, the Palace is just like, we'll call it an almost sterile environment sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I will vouch for Charles Barkley as a person who has picked up people from the Detroit airport and taken them to Detroit suburbs or out to a trade show out at the Palace, those kinds of things. You can take them into the outer edges of Detroit, and they don't know where they're in. They don't know they're in Detroit.
Right.
Because they, you know, they would see downtown, this, that, and the other thing. So I have no doubt that a lot of people say they've never been to Detroit, but they have been. They just didn't know it.
Possibly.
Their idea is, you know, Detroit Metro, limo to X, place where they're going to be working and the like. And I guess I'd just like to make one quick comment about Danton Cole. You know, a few years ago, he was also rumored to be the next coach when the out-of-the-box experiment with Tom Anastas came about. And, you know, I've met Tom Anastas a couple times. I'm old enough to remember him as a player. It's just really unfortunate that didn't work out. But, you know, he had long enough rope, and it was time. And, you know, I'm glad that he decided to leave rather than being shown the door, at least that was presented that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is there's a big buzz about possibly George Gwozdecki coming back. My opinion is George is a heck of a coach and a heck of a guy, but MSU had two chances to get him, I think. One was when Ron Mason moved upstairs, but a local TV sports reporter broke that story early, and within 10 days, University of Denver made an agreement to have him being the highest-paid coach on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So that took Michigan State out of the equation. The other time was when Denver fired him, because when they went D1, he was no longer the highest-paid coach on the campus. That was the men's basketball coach, and things got sideways. George left, but at that point in time, you know, it's not in Hollis's character to fire Tom Anastas, you know, like Sparky Anderson got the job when they fired Les Moss years ago. Oh,
right.
Sparky's available. Thanks, Les. Goodbye. You know, I don't think Hollis was going to move Tom Anastas into an AD department desk
right.
to make room for Gwozdecki. And I also think, to end this rant, is the Danton Cole the MSU is reportedly announcing today is a lot different than the Danton Cole that was the 34-year-old guy coaching the Grand Rapids Griffins years ago, and even different from the guy that was coaching when Anastas was named, because his experience now with USA Hockey has opened up a lot of contacts. And the one thing with the changing rules in recruiting hockey, Michigan State's been behind the schneid in the last few years, and I really think that depending on who he names as his assistants, and they can be recruiting maniacs like Mason brought in with him with Christensen and Walsh.
Right.
It turnaround is not big. Look up New York Times. There's an article about 2 weeks ago. For the first time ever, there are more quality Division I hockey players than there are than there are teams available to have them play. That's a great time to be a new head coach at a place like Michigan State. Thanks.
Dave, great call. A lot to digest there. I want to go back to a few things that Dave addressed. And, yeah, looking at, first off, the whole Charles Barkley thing, I've never been to Detroit. And, yeah, he may have, maybe on the drive to the team hotel. He just may not have known it. And, you know, one thing that irks real Detroiters like me, Isaac, because I'm born and raised in Detroit. I hate when people say, yeah, I'm from Detroit. And they say, and I ask them,
oh, me too.
Where are you from?
Me too.
Oh, I'm from Southfield. Oh, I'm from Bloomfield Hills. Oh, I'm from Dearborn or Dearborn Heights. No, dude, that's not.
Oh, it gets us New Orleanians too, trust me.
It irks me. It really irks me. So I also during that spiel, something I didn't address is that Charles Barkley said, oh, yeah, I've been to like Bloomfield Hills, But that's not Detroit. I'm glad he said that because that's a very good point to make.
It's a great distinction. And that's the thing with the Pistons. The Pistons should be the Auburn Hills Pistons if they're playing
in Auburn Hills.
Call them the Detroit Pistons, but move them back to Detroit.
And when it comes to Detroit Pistons locations they played at, Olympia Stadium was from 57 to 61. A lot of people don't even remember that one. Cobo Arena, 61 to 78. The Silver Dome from 78 to 88, and then the Palace from 88 to presently here in 2016. And when it comes to George Gwozdecki, to go back to what Dave addressed when it comes to a local reporter interviewing Gwozdecki, and yeah, that was after, and I mentioned this on yesterday's show, that was after the Ryan Mason funeral. And, you know, you look at Gwozdecki, I mean, this is a dude who has won back-to-back national titles with the Denver Pioneers in 04 and 05, would have been a sexy hire. But it came out, as Jason Ruff noted over the weekend, that Gwozdecki was going to not take the MSU job in return to, I believe, hockey. He's coaching high school hockey, I believe.
He is, yeah, out in Colorado,
exactly. He was going to return to his high school and coach there. And then, of course, the news came out about Danton Cole. And I very well put, Dave, when you look at Cole's resume and his credentials now, this is a great time for him to take this job. He's got considerable coaching credentials. 3 years with the University of Alabama Huntsville and taking the Chargers to the NCAA tournament. And now currently coaching the U.S. Well, now not anymore, seeing as though he's at MSU. But, you know, he did coach the U.S. National Team Development Program, a position that he had great success at. This is going to be a great hire, I think, for MSU, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Cole has to say later on this afternoon. Line two, we've got Kamiya from Lansing that wants to chime in. Kamiya, what's on your noggin?
I'm good. How y'all doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
I just wanted to talk about the Palace and my experience with the Palace. Oh, the first thing I did want to say to you, though, Al, is when you go live, you got to make sure you push a do not disturb.
And a technical question. If I put it on do not disturb, does that interfere with my Wi-Fi connection, though?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, look at that. Learn something new every day. Technology. Got to love it. I'm doing that so that these jokers can't call me while I'm at work. Thank you so much, Kamiya.
Yeah, if you're going to be on there for more than like a few minutes, that's what you have to do or else that'll happen. But
bam, there we go.
I wanted to tell you guys, as it relates to the Palace, so when I first started working at my current job that I have now, mm-hmm. so I wasn't really wealthy. Not that I'm wealthy now, but...
You're rich now, right?
in love. I'm a single parent, and so finding activities and things like that, because you know kids grow and you know things get hard, and so you try and find activities for them. So when I first started working for my current position, they're really big sports fans, and so there was a program where they go see Pistons games, and you can make payments on your tickets. Mm-hmm. And so, I guess my better judgment, I'm like, because I'm broke. I'm like, man, I'm going to do this. This is going to be an activity that we're going to do. So I do it. And for the first time in my life, we're at the Palace, Auburn Hills. Me and my daughter, we're running through here. And when you first walk in the Palace, there's always these gifts they give you, like the first so many people. And we got these Chauncey Billups blankets. And so we get our blankets, and you know how it is. With black people, we have to go find our seats. We can't do a whole lot.
Oh, yeah, right to the seats. Enjoy the atmosphere, yeah. Right.
we got to make sure ain't nobody in our seats. That's the point.
I hear you.
That's where my mind was at. I'm like, come on, girl, we got to go get these seats. And she's like, oh, Mom, there go the players. And I look over, and sure enough, but I don't care because I got to go get my seat. That's what's important. She's like, come on. You know, that's where my head is. That's what I'm pulling her. Mm-hmm. And I'm pulling her, and you know, it's always, like, crowded. And I got her hand, and all of a sudden, I don't have her hand no more. She's on the ground. And I've been down to pick her up, and lo and behold, guess who knocked her down? I don't know what he was doing or where he was coming from or where he was going, but Rip Hamilton knocked my daughter down.
Rip Hamilton knocked your daughter down?
Rip Hamilton bumped into her. He bumped into her some kind of way.
Wow.
And knocked her down. And he bends down. He's picking her up, and she's holding it. And we both got these blankets. And she's holding her blanket. And he has this marker because they're doing their autograph. He says, I'm sorry. Are you okay? And he goes, I know this is Chauncey Billups blanket, but but I can autograph it for you if you like. And that's how she got an autograph from Rip Hamilton.
That is so cool.
It was and you know how we are. I'm looking at him like, I don't care who you are. Did you just knock her down?
from a parental perspective, it doesn't matter who it is. It could be Michael Jordan. You're flipping your wig, right?
You could be Jesus.
I hear you.
Be Jesus. It's like,
That is a very cool story, Camille. Thank you for sharing that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was unbelievable to me because that day, it was the first day that I had ever seen them play in person. And Rip Hamilton, after that, became my favorite player for his time with the Pistons. And so after that, I kept doing the program with our job. So we kept going to games.
Right, right.
And I never, ever sat in the palace. I've never seen the Pistons lose.
Wow. Look at you. I wish you would have had season tickets this season. I tell you that, Camille, because maybe we would be in the playoffs. But Camille, thank you so much. We're short on time, but thank you so much for that call. Appreciate that.
All right, then I'll talk to you.
If you have a memory from the Palace of Auburn Hills, I don't know if it's topping that one, no. I don't know if he's topping that one, Isaac. I mean, Camille's daughter gets bumped by Rip Hamilton, and he signs her her Chauncey Billups blanket. And going back to that, you know, I shared my memory at the top of the hour about when my first Pistons game and Chauncey Billups signing my hat. They were also giving away Chauncey Billups bobbleheads, and my bobblehead just I dropped it one day, and it's somewhere in a dumpster. So yeah, very cool stuff though. Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will talk about charges being reinstated against my team, Cleves, and also two U of M men's basketball players testing the waters of the NBA draft. Don't go anywhere. Again, 517-355-WKAR. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. I want to push along this news concerning the Michigan football program. That news being that Jim Harbaugh, head coach of the Wolverines, announced yesterday afternoon that running back Drake Johnson will not return to the team. Johnson suffered a torn ACL in the first game of his redshirt freshman season. Then the same injury in the final game of the 2014 year. And as if all of that weren't enough, Johnson was, of course, and we noted this story here on our airwaves, he was run over by a forklift. I kid you not, by a forklift during last year's spring practices before missing the entire season with lingering hamstring issues. So again, Michigan coach Jim Harbaugh announced yesterday afternoon that Johnson will not return to the team for what would have been a sixth season. And I want to push this news along as well. Again, Mo Wagner as well as DJ Wilson have entered their names in the NBA draft. And both are likely to participate in the NBA Combine. That will take place May 9th to the 14th. And when it comes to Wagner, I mean, he's just so appreciative of the opportunity to even possibly be drafted in the NBA. Here's a quote from Wagner. Quote, "It doesn't really mean a lot other than just saying I look into being drafted and tell teams that your name is out there." He goes on to say, "Other than that, it doesn't mean anything. For 2 years now, there's been this rule that you can pull your name back out," end quote. So I don't want U of M fans out there who are looking at this news and saying, "Man, Mo was so good for us, especially in the postseason this year. Gosh, and now he's going to be gone from the team and go to the NBA draft." He's leaving the door open to possibly come back. Again, college players are able to withdraw from the draft until May 24th. DJ Wilson has also declared. Now, when it comes to a possible draft slot for those two, Chad Ford of ESPN is predicting that both are late first round picks. In regards to Wagner, Chad Ford wrote this, quote, "He had an up and down sophomore year, but he ticks a lot of boxes off for NBA scouts. He's a fluid athlete who can really shoot the ball. He also has playmaking abilities and shows toughness in the paint. Plus, he's only 19 years old. He'll likely go somewhere between numbers 18 to 25 if he stays in the draft. Wagner is scheduled to go back in June to Germany to participate with the national team, and he has not thought about playing professionally in Germany. It's one of those things, Isaac, before we get to Ray from Indiana, I see you, Ray. It's one of those things I look at with Wagner, and I say, dude, this is as good as your draft stock is going to get, because nobody predicted Wagner to be this good, especially when you look at the postseason run that the Wolverines had this year. Strike while the iron is hot, because I don't think that Wagner is going to get better. I think he's hit his peak when it comes to collegiate basketball. I don't see him having a better year than he had this year with the Michigan Wolverines. I say if you're a first-round pick right now, you better go. I think this is as good as it's getting for Mo Wagner.
I don't think he's necessarily cemented himself as a first-round pick. I think he might be still start of round two. But what I think about Wagner, I thought he could have actually stayed another year. Like I said, the potential gap between the first and second year of your junior and senior season, essentially, are minimal. When scouts look at your potential, pretty much that's a term applied to freshmen, sophomore. Juniors and seniors kind of lose that. I think with Wagner, I think he's still a little bit slow laterally. I think he's got some quickness that he could grow on. And I don't think he would have, by staying a year, necessarily hurt his draft stock, even if his stats weren't the same, as long as he showed he could do something different. If he put on a little bit more foot speed or gained some ball handling, I think that would have helped. However, listening to that quote, I agree with his decision. Because if your goal is to get into the NBA, doesn't make sense to spend another year dawdling around and risk that whatsoever. So overall, it's hard for me to fault him for this move. And like you said, leaving the door open.
When evaluating this roster for next season and the recruiting class, the incoming recruiting class for John Beilein and his team, Mo, if it's there and if you're being projected as a first-round pick, chuck the deuces and go. DJ Wilson, I'm kind of conflicted with him. I think DJ could possibly use another year, and I think he will be an essential part of that program come next season. I don't know, though. Who knows? Whatever they decide, I do think that, you know, especially for Mo, you know, and hearing his quotes, which took place on the Dak and Dunk podcast with U of M teammates Andrew Dockage and Duncan Robinson, it looks as though Mo wants to get his degree. That's number one in his mind. He wants to stay in college as long as possible to get that coveted piece of paper, that degree. So we'll see what happens. 517-355-WKAR. Line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
Skipper.
What's up, dude?
Nice to hear all the athletes leaving the bullies up there in Ann Arbor.
Well, again, the door is still open for Wagner and Wilson to possibly come back May 24th. So we'll see. They're not leaving yet.
I figured they were getting tired of watching John use that squirt gun around there and eating my chocolate.
Gosh, I don't know. I would never understand your dislike for the great man that is John Beilein. But proceed, Ray. I know you wanted to comment on the Masters, right?
Well, he's a liar.
Here we go.
Anyways, hey, Garcia winning that Masters, okay?
Yeah.
It's funny. He used to be a very unpopular man when Tiger was beating him, but it's nice to see somebody that hadn't won in 72 times out finally get a victory.
Well, that's the thing, Ray. I chatted with Brad Walker, and we were talking about just the dislike that some golf aficionados have when it comes to Sergio Garcia, and it stems right to the man that you just mentioned, that being Tiger Woods. They had a bit of a rivalry. Well, I wouldn't say that much
Tiger
of a rivalry because Tiger would eat him up every single time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they would go back and forth talking trash with each other, and Tiger was America's darling in the world of golf. And if you went against Tiger Woods, you were the enemy, and Sergio did that multiple occasions. But it's good to see the man finally get a major after 73 starts. Pretty cool, right,
Ray? Hey, I got to talk about your man, Tiger Woods. I'm afraid he's all done.
I think he's – I said this last year. I mean, golf is one of those sports that if mentally, if you are not there, you're not going to win. Simple as that. And Tiger Woods is just not the same guy that we saw prior to Thanksgiving of 2009 when that whole spiel went down with him and his then wife Erin. He's just not the same guy. He's trying to pander to the popular. That's not what made Tiger Woods great. That ferocity, that competitive edge is what made Tiger Woods so good on the golf course. He cares about the public persona now. He's thinking too much. Not to mention the dude has had surgery after surgery after surgery.
Right.
I don't see him getting back to where he was. And oh, by the way, golf now, the field has gotten better. Tiger Woods was so good that he made the field get better just based on the amount of strokes that he used to be beating guys by.
Exactly.
The field is too deep now. I don't see Tiger Woods getting back to that
four straight majors he hasn't been able to compete in.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, three or four back surgeries, that takes a toll on you.
I mean, oh, it does, yeah.
I got a bad back, but I do these physical exercises every day before I go out jogging. And I'll tell you, my back still hurts me, but I force myself to run and work out every day. But it gets harder and harder every year, but that's the way it's going to be with Tiger. I mean, even if he could compete again out there, those guys are so much better than they were back in his day that I just don't think he can ever beat them.
Yep, he's a product of his own monster, without a doubt, without a doubt.
Yeah, he was his own worst enemy. That I told people back when he was getting close to Nicholas, I said the only thing that can stop him is a woman and a car accident, and both of them happened to him.
That is true. That is very true. Ray, thank you so much, my man.
God bless you.
All right, well, we have about 2 minutes left here in the show. Isaac, we'll elaborate more extensively on this on tomorrow's Current Sports, and we'll bring some snippets of the, again, I'm guessing the Danton Cole presser. Again, it's so tricky because yesterday it came out from Spartan Nation that Danton Cole was going to be the next MSU head hockey coach, but it was not confirmed from MSU Athletics, and I wanted to sit on it until we got official word. Even in the email that I received this morning talking about the 3 p.m. presser, they did not come out and say, yes, this presser is for Danton Cole. He is our new head hockey coach. It's just said that there will be a presser at 3 p.m. with MSU AD Mark Hollis. So I'm assuming that is Danton Cole. We'll bring that presser to you on tomorrow's Current Sports. I want to address this, though. My team, Cleves, yesterday, the ex-basketball Michigan State star, Cleves' lawyer went on the offense saying that his client is the, quote, victim, end quote, in the case, not the woman who claims that she was sexually assaulted by Cleves after hooking up with him at a charity golf outing in September of 2015. As we noted in our quick hit headliners, the charges have now been reinstated. And in December, Flint Circuit Court Judge Kathy Dowd cited not enough probable cause as the reason for the original dismissal. And now that all goes out the window. This case will go to trial, Isaac. And we're going to elaborate more on this case on tomorrow's Current Sports. Now, again, I reached out to Cleves' attorney, Frank Manley, to try to get him on Current Sports. Have not heard any word back. But what's your initial reaction after hearing this? Because I knew this was going to happen, Isaac.
Yeah, just hoping for a clean resolution. I don't like commenting on legal matters, really, because damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's incriminating to even try to say somebody did something when it's not proven, but at the same time, you don't want to blame the victim. It's a tricky situation.
Tomorrow, I'm going to tag it from the reputation of my team, Cleves. Don't go anywhere. We'll be with you throughout this entire week, same time, same place. You're on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Be easy, people.